And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is energetic and motivated people. Each of my guests is discussing how energy and enthusiasm can lead to fantastic results in one's personal and business life. My first guest is a positive energy consultant who's worked with numerous teams and so forth. We talked about his latest book, Positive Energy from the Energy Bus. My second guest has the wisdom and perspective to dissect the recent financial situation and find its root causes, predict its effects, and offer solutions. We discussed his book, Debt, Deficits, and the Demise of the American Economy. My next guest has examined the critical characteristics of success and innovation, and he's analyzed the component building blocks. We'll discuss his latest book, The Innovator's DNA. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question of my guest, you can call us at 639-0008. Hal Gregerson is a professor of leadership at INESED, where he pursues his vocation of executive teaching, coaching, consulting, and research. Before INESED, Hal taught at the London Business School, the Tuck School at Dartmouth College, Helsinki School of Economics, Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University, Brigham Young University, Thunderbird, and Turku School of Economics as a Fulbright Scholar. In 1983, he completed his master's in organizational change from Brigham Young University, with honors, I might add, and in 1989, he received a PhD in business administration from the University of California at Irvine. Hal's latest book, The Innovator's DNA, flows from his path-breaking international research project conducted with Jeff Dyer and Clayton Christensen. Hal has co-authored numerous other books, too many to name here. Hal and his wife live in France and in Abu Dhabi, where he pursues his lifelong avocation of photography, and she pursues her lifelong love of painting. Global community of social entrepreneurs dedicated to creating positive social change through the arts. Welcome to the show, Hal. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Glad to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you so much for being a thought leader in the area that you are. Now, let's set the stage for my listeners, if I can. A recent IBM survey of 1,500 CEOs found that the number one leadership competency for the future they considered to be creativity, the power of innovative ideas to revolutionize industry. Now, you and your co-authors have interviewed founders, entrepreneurs, and current CEOs of the world's 25 most innovative companies, and you conducted in-depth case studies on these companies. You collected over 5,000 surveys assessing high-performance entrepreneurs, managers, and inventors. And from all of this, you explored the fundamental question of where disruptive innovation comes from. Gladly, you found out that these are habits that can be learned and mastered through practice. So, Hal, if you will, give us the characteristics, the habits that we can learn to master to become more innovative leaders.
Well, the first thing is, many of us have heard the Think Different campaign that Apple ran when Steve Jobs came back to Apple.
Yes.
And I guess the fundamental point of our research is that in order to think different, we simply have to act different. And what I mean by that is people who generate incredibly disruptive ideas that change industries and communities, they're people who actively, on an everyday basis, ask questions that provoke the status quo. They're prone to be asking why not, what if, how might, trying to push things from where they are to what they might be. But they're not just asking questions in the abstract. They're doing things in a very concrete world. For example, they're out there like cultural anthropologists paying careful attention to what people do and what matters and what doesn't and what frustrates and what doesn't frustrate. They talk to a huge variety of people. We call it idea networking, where they try to basically figure out who's the most different person from me and what could I learn from them. And then they also, in terms of behavioral sense, they spend their time and energy building the skill of just experimenting. They try different things, they try new things, they're more than willing to prototype and explore and just try out and try on things and experiences.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Hal, didn't mean to walk over you there. Sorry about that. Go on.
No problem. And so when people do those things, in other words, they act differently, they ask those tough questions, make the careful observations, talk to different people, experiment and prototype, when we're pushed into the corner, like that IBM study said of what CEOs see their future world as, which is full of uncertainty the unknowns and we don't have the answers, then with that background and of experience, we're able to generate the unexpected idea. We associate the things we typically don't connect. We connect the unconnected.
We connect the unconnected. My guest is Hal Gregersen, author of the book, The Innovator's DNA, Mastering the Five Skills of Disruptive Innovators. And Hal, interesting in that questioning is a big part of it. You said people have to question the status quo. You have a term or a concept in your book that I like very much. It's the high QA ratio that executives need to have. Describe for my listeners what this high QA ratio is and why it's so important if you want to be an innovative leader.
A great example of that is the first time I interviewed A.G. Lafley, who was the CEO of Procter & Gamble during the decade of 2000 to roughly 2010. And essentially, I went into that interview with all kinds of questions that I was going to ask him as a senior executive. And by the end of that conversation, he asked me more questions than I asked him. And so, you know, he has this interesting mantra, which is, you know, he asks himself the question, what am I going to learn this week when he goes to work on Monday morning? And then he's constantly chasing two questions. One being, what are we delighting consumers when they buy our product, which he goes into supermarkets to figure out if they actually are delighted when they buy P&G products. And the second question is, are they equally delighted when they use our products? And so A.G. Lafley goes into homes, and he's also watching carefully to figure out, you know, what's going on here? Are they thrilled about what they're doing? And in that whole process, he's constantly asking questions to understand what's going on here and what might be different.
Now, is there a ratio? I mean, it's a ratio. So is there an ideal or an optimum ratio? Should you ask four questions for every one answer that you give? Or is there some norm that you found interviewing all of these high-powered CEOs?
Not in a statistical sense, but when I'm on the hunt for a new idea, and if my ratio is, you know, in terms of a Q to A, if I'm making more answers or statements than questions, then I'm probably not going to get some surprising new insights.
And that makes
The issue basically becomes when I'm chasing ideas, not trying to make them happen, but trying to just discover them. In general, I'm asking more questions than I'm giving in terms of statements.
All right. My guest is Hal Gregersen. Now, Hal, one of the other concepts that you have in the book that I liked very much is one that you call associating, or other people have called it the Medici effect. So what is the role of associating? How does that relate to the other skills that you teach in the book?
When we're generating innovative ideas, rarely ever are we pulling something completely new out of the hat. What we're usually doing is just combining things that nobody's ever put together before. And so when Mark Benioff founded Salesforce.com, really the originator of cloud computing, when he first had the idea, it was an association. He had just left his prior job, was on a bit of a sabbatical in search of what's next. He was swimming with the dolphins out in the ocean in Hawaii, and it finally dawned on him, Amazon.com meets enterprise software. What if we sold enterprise-level software like Amazon.com sells books? And when he made that association, connected the unconnected, it was like, voila, here we go, this is it. And they did the very same thing with their recent product service, which is called Chatter, which basically took the best of Twitter, the best of Facebook, and created a corporate enterprise analog or solutions look very similar.
Chatter. Now, that's an interesting one. My guest is Hal Gregersen. Hal, most of us can't go to swim with the dolphins. So assuming that we can't go do that, what are some ways that CEOs, people listening to the sound of our voice right now, can help increase their associative skills that will help them to become better?
Well, for me, everybody whom I know has a problem or a challenge for which they have no solution today. Could be a personal challenge, could be a professional challenge, but they're hunting for an answer and they don't have one. And so for me, the first step in becoming more creative is figuring out something that I'm trying to solve. Once that happens, then go with your strengths with these innovators' DNA skills and go on the hunt for new information to get a better solution. some people, like Pierre Omidyar, who founded eBay, they are adept. They are really, he's really skilled at observation. Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, loves to experiment. Michael Lazardis, who founded Research in Motion, the BlackBerry company, you know, he really is an idea network. He talks to a lot of people. All of them ask provocative questions, but they get out of their office and get into the world to get new data that they don't normally bump into. And one of the great things that Scott Cook told us, founder of Intuit, which is basically, he said, when I go out and do observations, or my people do, I'm always asking the question afterwards, what was surprising, what was unexpected? And so when we really pay attention to the world, we get surprised. And those surprises lead us to new ideas.
What was surprising and what was unexpected? That is great. My guest is Hal Gregersen, author of the book, co-author of the book, The Innovator's DNA, Mastering the Five Skills of Disruptive Innovators. So, Hal, let's take all of this and let's apply it to all of the traits that you have to Steve Jobs, an entrepreneur that many of us are familiar with. Now, you didn't interview Steve Jobs as part of your book. You did interview Scott Cook. You just mentioned that he was the originator, the innovator of Intuit, and now is one of Steve Jobs' lieutenants. Now, it's said that Steve Jobs doesn't see things differently. He perceives things differently. True or false?
His perceptions of things being different come from number one. All of these innovators had a deep passion about the problem they were trying to understand. Steve Jobs has a deep passion about creating services and products that are simply off the chart excellent. Then he has a lifetime of experience that enables him to pull off with his team around him these products that are just blockbusters. So, for example, going way, way back, Steve Jobs, when he was a late teenager, went to India to get enlightenment and spent some time in an ashram just basically meditating. And he learned the value of silence. Well, you may not be old enough, but I certainly am, where we used to have computers that demanded these really noisy fans in them. And Steve Jobs' experience with meditation and solitude said, wait a minute, we don't need a fan. We should get rid of that thing. And so he actually scoured the world for somebody who could figure out a technology to create a power supply that needed no fan. And surprise, here came this revolution of a computer without a fan. And there are a half dozen other things I could explain where essentially Jobs basically engages these skills on an everyday basis. It's a stockpile of experience that when he's pushed into a corner to get a new idea, he can draw on that and make a difference.
Yeah, and he is a great example of an innovative CEO. Now, in your book, Hal, you differentiate between delivery skills and discovery skills that a CEO might have. And your research indicates that the majority of executives excel at delivery skills, but not at discovery skills like Steve Jobs. So talk to me about that. What do most CEOs need to understand of the importance of both delivery skills and discovery skills?
Number one, both matter. And if we forget that truth, inevitably we're going to run into problems strategically, professionally, and perhaps even personally. Both matter. So go back to Steve Jobs for just a moment. He founded this company called Apple in the late 1970s. Fantastically successful, grew to several hundred million dollars. He hired a guy named John Sculley from Pepsi to be the CEO. And within moments, basically, Steve Jobs was fired from the company he founded. Now, there are 100 reasons why that happened, but one of them, from my perspective, is he didn't respect and honor people who were great at execution and delivery. Well, he went off and learned some tough lessons during that 10-year interim away from Apple. When he came back, Apple was almost dead. They had products that were absolutely non-exciting. They had CEOs who were great managers, but they were horrible in terms of discovery. And their company reflected that fact. Jobs comes back, the company changes in terms of direction, and part of that change, and I think their current success, is Steve has done a really good job, round two, of pulling people around him who were equally good, if not better, on the discovery or innovation side, and people like Tim Cook, who are just superb at execution and delivery, getting things done. And it's that honoring each side and working well together that not only gets great ideas, but pulls them off.
My guest is Hal Gregersen, author of the book, The Innovator's DNA. Hal, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book?
Everyone can innovate. We were all once four-year-olds. We all once did all of these innovators' DNA skills. We ask provocative questions. We observe the world carefully. We talk to just about anybody. We experimented, and we knew how to connect the unconnected. Every four-year-old I know or have ever seen around the world does what I just said. I'll never forget working with a senior executive team at Coca-Cola, and at the end of an exercise around questioning and building their questioning skills, he basically said, you know, we knew how to do this once, but we've just lost the muscle. And my answer is, anyone who wants to be innovative can get the muscle back if they just decide to act differently day to day.
Wow. A powerful lesson. My guest has been Hal Gregersen, author of the book, The Innovator's DNA, Mastering the Five Skills of Disruptive Innovators. Hal, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much.
Take care.